Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? And we've been talking about the difference between your purpose and the projects God has assigned us to accomplish our purpose here on this earth. Our ultimate purpose, as far as we can tell, and again, you know, we see things from our perspective, and our perspective right now is limited. Who knows that in, you know, some other point of view that God's purposes for us are totally different than what we think. From our perspective, though, whatever his purpose is, if we are depending on him for our direction, for guidance, for encouragement, for strength, for life, for everything, then we know that our purpose is going to be satisfied. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to have full understanding in order to be able to be accomplishing what God wants us to accomplish here on this earth. And our time here is limited. We're all pretty much aware of that. We understand that we were born here, we're here for a time, and for pretty much everyone, we'll be leaving. And so we have this sense of finiteness. And what we want to be aware of is to not be wasting our time here, but also to not be allowing our sense of finiteness to steal from us. We don't want it to be controlling us. We don't want our sense of focus, we don't want our focus to be on how we're spending our time. So as we rely on God, as we depend on him, that's precisely how we enter into that rest. That rest is actually our way of leaving time behind. We can be at perfect rest and outwardly it looks like we are just running out full tilt. Burning the candle at both ends, tons of projects going, accomplishing things, being productive, and yet we can be at perfect rest because it's not out of our own strength that we are accomplishing anything. And likewise, with that same rest, outwardly it could look like we're doing absolutely nothing. Because what it looks like to others, and even in some respects to ourselves, isn't a connection to whether we're at rest or not. So we let God determine if we need to speed things up or slow things down. We don't take on the idea of being productive as our identity. We don't take on the notion of building his kingdom or making sure that our area of responsibility is taken care of. One of the challenges we have is that we feel that if there are others following us or that we're teaching them, that we are responsible for them. And that's just not true. God is responsible for them. That's between the two of them. You are there merely as a resource God has placed in their lives. Now, we see, we recognize that this is an opportunity for us to depend on Him. This is an opportunity God has created for us. But also that we don't get to choose whether we are in that position or not. We don't get to decide on what we put our time into, what we put our effort into. We get to let God decide that. And we remember that there are so many things that what God is doing, we don't understand. But if we just follow His lead, often the things He asks us to do are going to be completely contrary to our temperament. Sometimes they're going to be in accordance to our temperament. It doesn't matter. What does matter is, are we depending on Him? And He is faithful and consistent. And if we let Him, He can be very clear. So we've been talking about knowing ourselves according to our temperament, hindering our purpose now. And you know that the way your temperament has been put together is unique, and God values it, and it's not broken. He's not going to fix it. Okay, let me repeat that. Your temperament is the way God put your soul together, your mind, your will, and emotions. He likes you that way. It's not something for you to be critical of. If you are critical of your temperament, you are being critical of God. These are choices He made for you. Now you may think, well, I wish I was like that person, or I wish I was like this, or how come I'm so, you know, this, that, you know, I talk too much, or I'm not motivated. You know, I really don't care about, you know, doing things for God. Or whatever it is, I'm not interested in this. Now, that if that's a part of your temperament, that's just the way God made you. And every temperament has strengths and weaknesses. And we will be getting into detail in this in another series about looking at temperaments. But every temperament, personality, whatever you want to call it, it's the way your mind, will, and emotions were put together. Each one, each temperament, your temperament, has strengths and weaknesses. So what? That's not who you are. Your temperament is not your identity. Okay? As a person, as an individual, you are either spiritually, you are either dead, or you are spiritually alive. That's it. Those are the only options. You're not spiritually immature or spiritually mature. It's all in or all out. The process, the change is going to happen in your soul and in your body. And as your soul changes, your body is freed. So that's part of the process. So our focus is on bringing our soul into freedom. We're freeing our mind, freeing our will, and freeing our emotions so that they can be submitted to our spirit, which was its original creation or its original configuration. But God's idea when he put your temperament together was for his good pleasure. It's the way he wanted it. So when we're critical of the way God put us together, we are criticizing him. We are saying he did something wrong. Now, when we use our temperament to control, that's when we enter into the flesh, our self-life. That's when we use a gift God gave us to do his job. It's cheating. It's usurping. Again, it's when we use the gift of our temperament that God gave us, when we use that gift to do God's job, which is to change us. When we try to do things out of our own strength, we are functioning out of our self-life. And we are trying to sit in the throne of our lives. So whether we're functioning and operating day to day, or in bigger terms, out of our strengths, or whether we're operating out of a need or desire to cover for our weaknesses, in order to get someone to like us, in order to fit in order to accomplish something, or thinking we're pleasing God, all we're doing is trying to do his job. And he has a hard time with that. He's not really fond of people trying to do his job. That is something that he will not let us constantly do, get away with. Now, he chooses what aspect of flesh he's going to deal with at any given time. He chooses that. A lot of times we'll maybe be struggling with one thing, and God's just not interested in dealing with it yet. He wants to deal with a totally different thing. So that's a whole other area where we don't get to choose what God is working on. But if we only see ourselves, if we're so wrapped up in our soulical identity, this is one of the reasons we are constantly reminding all of us that we are spirit beings. We are not soulical beings. We have a soul and we live in a body, but you are a spiritual being. So the process is to renew our minds, renew our wills, and renew our emotions, primarily so we see ourselves and treat ourselves as spirit beings. We value our souls. We value our mind, our will, and our emotions. But we remember that they don't mean anything. they're still so clogged up with trying to get their own purposes accomplished that they are all unreliable. We're in process. God's cleaning them up, and we're cooperating with him. But they're not yet reliable. We are learning to depend on him, and as that happens, our judgment is developed, our emotions become clear, and very often, you know, our emotions are so often based on being hurt, whether it's trying to prevent it or because we have been hurt, not on the situation at hand. You know, somebody, you bump into somebody and they give you a nasty look and you burst into tears. Okay? It's not from that person giving you a nasty look. It's because it's the 10th thing that day and that was the last straw. So our emotions very often aren't based on objective reality. They're based on carrying around wounds and not being able to depend on spirit for life and for true information. So that's part of the process of what God is doing, to reveal to us what is temperament within us and what is spirit. Now, we often live according to the belief that our temperament is who or what we are, and it's not true. But very often, this is very common, someone who has a strong intellect may believe, and others may believe, that their value to God and to themselves and to others as well is measured in terms of doing something with their intellect. In other words, you're such a smart fellow. You know, if you don't become a scientist or a doctor or a mathematician, or if you don't live up to your potential, that's displeasing to God. Likewise, someone who is compassionate and caring toward people may believe that God gave them those qualities in order to minister to people, or be in a vocation helping people, or animals, or the earth. You know, it's some area that emotion, that compassion can be turned into a vocation. But our temperament, the way God put our soul together, is not the basis for his evaluation. In fact, because of our temperament and our misbeliefs about our temperament, often our greatest hindrance in depending on God is accommodating our temperament, which is flesh. And that flesh is our greatest hindrance between resting on God, depending on him. So it's that vicious cycle, because the flesh doesn't want to die. Your soul has gotten so used to controlling life, controlling getting its needs met. It's not going to just give up. It's going to keep on trying. And its greatest asset is your temperament and your beliefs about your temperament. If you are caught between self-condemnation regarding your temperament or self-accommodation of your temperament, both of those the Lord's going to deal with. And he's going to ask you to do things that are totally contrary to your temperament. And likewise, even when situations come up that would accommodate your temperament, he's not going to let you react out of your temperament, but you still have to go to him, Lord, what's going on here? These are things that once we get the idea in to go to God about, he doesn't just teach us. He shows us. He takes us through the situations. Because me just telling you about this, that, and the other thing isn't going to change anything. This is something we each have to experience. But we want to be aware that he values our temperament. He just doesn't want us counting on our temperament for life, for his life, for our life, for anyone's life. We don't want to use our temperament to minister to other people, because that's not going to give them life. That's when we develop codependency. But now, God may put us in the exact same situation where we are to provide strength despite our temperament. So it's not whether our temperament would be wanting to minister or help others or be compassionate. Doesn't matter. If God wants you to be, your temperament doesn't enter into it. And that's when your temperament becomes free. Free to be joined to your spirit. And then he is unhindered. And we are unhindered by our temperament, the strengths, weaknesses. And that's its true value. Because your soul gives you a unique character here on this earth. We cannot destroy our flesh. Only God can do that. And he is committed to doing that. He hates your flesh because it hinders you from entering into relationship with him. Now, again, that flesh is self-life. Doing things your way. Trying to do God's job in your life. Trying to retain control over what God is doing in your life. So if we don't understand that, we will continue to put in our own self-effort to accomplish our perceived purpose here on this earth. But this is so critical, so that's why one of the main purposes God has for us is that our flesh be revealed so that he can consume it. The more he consumes, the more our temperament is more fully known and can be valued. But it doesn't control. So think of it in these terms. Very often when a couple gets married, over time, and this is one of the reasons, you know, marriages don't last very long in the first place, is because they don't want to compromise. Nobody wants to compromise. Because that's letting someone else have their way. And of the very nature of our flesh is to have its way, to have control. And so negotiation and compromise and working things out, if that's not built into a relationship, that relationship is not going to last long. Because even if you agree on 99% of everything, even in that agreement, what does it look like? There's going to be need for compromise on how to get there, what the priorities are, what that means. And nobody knows, nobody can predict what a relationship will have to face. in a lifetime. So if theirs doesn't come in to a relationship with both souls being willing and know how to compromise, well, a couple things can happen. One of the people can win all the time and the other can lose all the time, or both just settle and resent the other person, and that can end, or it's a constant struggle with both people trying to win all the time. And ideally, it would be that both would enter into that rest and recognize that the reason they're in that relationship is to learn how to depend on God, not to depend on their strength, that the relationship is an opportunity to depend on God, not to win or get their needs met. But even in Christian circles, that's rare. So if we can't negotiate with the ones we love, we have a hard time expecting or accepting that God wants to talk about things with us. He's not a dictator. He's not just wanting to say, okay, go do this. He wants us to see things from his perspective. Now, spiritually, you already do. But there's more to this purpose than just hammering us into submission. You know, where he wins and we lose. No, it's as we're free, we enjoy our freedom. As we are freed from the self, from relying on the strength of self and hiding our weaknesses, that freedom brings joy and rest and peace and enthusiasm and patience and understanding and wisdom and persistence and all those characteristics that we think we don't have, because they are all there in our spirit. But we don't get them by striving for them. God develops them as your spirit more and more engulfs those areas of your soul that have been freed from flesh. This is something, again, that we have to experience. And this is one of the hazards that so often, because we don't want to be experience discomfort, we don't stay in relationships. We don't stay in marriages. We give up. And sometimes we give up and stay in marriages. And so we don't get an opportunity to really be who we are and really start that process until we're out of the relationship, out of the marriage, either by divorce or by death. And so we give ourselves time to remember, okay, this is who I am. This is one of the reasons it hurts so much, is because we thought we were giving up everything to make this relationship work, and it didn't, and now we have to get everything back. But if we misunderstand the reason God gave us the temperament he did, we will try to use it, which will be in exact opposition to what God is doing in our lives. So next, we're going to look at how God uses the circumstances he's created in our lives. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. I'll see you tomorrow at 7:30. Have a great day.